Now, I'm not going to ask how many have done their homework, as I sent the email this week, but if you have, you're going to be more familiar with this story than others. It's about trusting in God, or trusting in ourselves and trusting in others when we should be trusting in God. And I'm just going to read the first 16 verses of chapter 18, and other things I may refer to in the sermon, and hopefully you've got yourself familiar with the story. 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 to 16. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as he loved himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan took off the robe that he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. While the men were returning home after David had killed Philistine, the woman came out from the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing. And with joyful songs they sang, with timbrels and lyres they danced and they sang, and I'm not going to sing this. Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They've credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcibly upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he held it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall." But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with David and has departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him the command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success, because the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he led them in their campaigns. We thank God for his word to us. And this story is one that has got many confusing and difficult subjects in it. But we're going to look at that in a little bit later.
The second reading is taken from Psalm 37, beginning to read at verse 1. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow, but to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of men of many wicked, for the power of the wicked will be broken. But the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish, vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he brings his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power, or let them be condemned when they're brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil, but he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace, but all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him.
That psalm is a psalm of David, and it really adds up the cost of being wicked compared to those who are faithful to God. And it's worth bearing in mind that psalm whenever things become overwhelming. I listened to a program on radio called The News Quiz. And a couple of weeks ago on The News Quiz, when things were getting at their craziest, they just said, what can we add to this? What can we say in the light of the situations that we find ourselves in? And that's how it is for those who are wicked, that when they're in government, when they're in power, as opposed to those who seek the Lord and serve him. The Bible says that man is set for difficulties as sparks fly upwards. In other words, they are inevitable, and we all face difficulties of one sort or another. And David, though he trusted in God, was no exception. And these chapters, 18 to 21, show how David moved from serving in Saul's court to being an outcast. What a big difference from being the king's trusted man in his service to being an outcast who was in fear of his life. 1 Samuel 18 verse 28 says, when Saul realized the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became more afraid of him and remained his enemy for the rest of his days. It also shows in these chapters how David, King David as he was to be, failed to keep trusting in God. It was a lesson that he was going to need to learn in order to get him through the next few years. And what he did instead was he trusted in himself and he trusted in his fellow man instead of facing the hardship and trusting in God. We are those who are called to trust in Jesus. John 14 verse 1 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe, you trust in God, trust also in me." Difficulties seem like they're walking up a hill with trying to push a big stone. That's how it feels sometimes. And we need to remember that we do not let our hearts be troubled, but trust also in God. King David trusts in the Lord to begin with. David's greatest trial was not facing Goliath. It was serving in Saul's court. He was tested in several ways. Can you imagine going into the presence of a madman each day? I mean, most of us have had the experience of facing the 9 o'clock deadline of getting into work and feeling to ourselves, I really don't want to go to work today. For David, it must have been absolutely appalling. And his greatest trial was going to that court every day. And he was tested, first of all, by his popularity. David wasn't supposed to be king, not by tradition. That should have been Jonathan as being Saul's son. But such a friendship existed between the two that David and Jonathan, that no jealousy existed. That's incredible. Jonathan was giving up his throne in order that David might be lifted up while he was going to be demoted. But Saul was another matter. He hated David. And at least twice in those readings that we had in 18 to 21, at least twice, he tries to kill David and pin him to the wall with a spear. That's a real human resources issue, isn't it? We have this employer who wants to kill the employee. In these chapters, he tries to kill David at least twice. David was popular with the people. But the people, praised David and not David's God. And this was wrong. God should have got the glory. They should have been praising God for the remarkable and miraculous deliveries that David brought. Beware popularity. Just because somebody is popular doesn't mean they're right. I think that's really important in our world today. We have people who are voted in and elected in for their popularity. And sometimes elections become popularity contests. And we need to beware of the popular vote and actually be saying, what do people here think about God? Where are their priorities with God? And Jesus warned us that we would suffer for our faith and not be popular. Saul sought glory, David sought God. Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Popularity is a trap. We are not meant to be popular as Christians. We're meant to be like the grit in the oyster. We're to be uncomfortable for people in society to see. People who will look at us and say, he's too good, she's too good, she's acting too good, behaving too good. And God says to be avoiding the popularity and remember that as Christians, quite often, we suffer for our Christianity. But then David also suffered by demotion. Verse 5 says that David was basically the head of Saul's bodyguard. And now he's demoted and put in charge of 1,000 men. In other words, he was put into a very difficult and dangerous situation. But David continued to serve Saul. He believed that he was God's man for that time, and he overlooked and ignored his achievements. He was overlooked and ignored for his achievements, I should say. And we too will be for our faith. Don't expect fair treatment just because you serve Jesus. Often we are persecuted, overlooked, and yes, maybe even demoted, but we trust in Jesus. And then he was tested by disappointment. Saul promised his daughter in marriage to the one who defeated Goliath. He broke his word and gave his daughter away. David was humble in this and said, "Who am I to be married to the king's daughter?" But eventually he married another daughter of Saul, Michal. It wasn't a happy union. It started with love, but ended with a threat to kill David. They didn't have a happy marriage. Sometimes our best plans fail. God has a bigger plan. We need to trust in Jesus. And then the rot started to come in. And David started to trust his men instead of God. Saul made it common knowledge that he wanted David dead. But Saul's anger seemed to deplete and he changes his mind. Such is the way of the worldly mind, especially a sick one, unstable and unreliable. It says one thing one minute, something else the next. But this is how David wavers and begins to trust others rather than to trust in God. First of all, we trust Jonathan, which you may think is not such a bad thing because they had a great love for each other and a care for each other. And he trusts that Jonathan will repair the relationship between him and Saul. He should have trusted God. Jonathan failed, you see. He failed in that task. And people will let you down, will fail you. People will let you down. Because all people are fallen, all society is fallen, all systems are fallen. But God will never let you down. Saul's heart needed changing, but he was too stubborn to submit to God. So instead then, David tries trusting Michal. Though Michal loved David, there seems to be no spiritual connection between the two. And this is shown through her later actions. Michal warned David that Saul was watching him, so they concocted a lie. And this was the beginning of trouble for David. Never right to do evil that good might come of it. The ends never justify the means when it comes to doing wrong. Romans 3 verse 8 says, "Why say, as some slanderously claim, that we say, let us do evil that good may result? Their condemnation is just." It's very easy sometimes to try and take the shortcut in society, in the world, in life. The devil does this. In Jesus' temptations that we have in the book of Matthew, we see that the devil says to Jesus, "If you worship me, I'll give you the whole earth." This is a shortcut. Jesus was going to have the whole earth as his, but it meant going via the cross. And the devil comes to him and says, "If you worship me instead, I'll give you a shortcut. You can avoid the cross if you just worship me." Notice Michal uses an idol to trick Saul. What was she doing having an idol in her tent? Doesn't make sense. She wasn't somebody who had a heart for God. Therefore, David shouldn't have trusted her. He should have trusted in God. And then he trusts Samuel. At last, he trusts in somebody who is a man of God. And this man prayed and counseled him. And Samuel defeats Saul not with weapons or lies or guile, but with the Spirit of God. Trust in Jesus. And then lastly, David trusts in himself instead of God. Chapters 20 to 21 record not a very nice picture of David. One thing about Scripture is that it's honest. never papers over the cracks, always tells us exactly what's going on and what's happening, and even paints a picture of David which is less than flattering. We see a man who is failing and faltering in his faith, so he schemes, he lies, he plots to get out of his situation instead of trusting God. Let's look at the lies he tells. First of all, he tells a lie to Saul. David and Jonathan hatch a plan of deceit together. This never works. Lying never works. They together lie about where David is, and they try to deceive Saul. And this appears justified. Surely, if they lie and that saves David's life, this is a good thing. A lie to save a life. But it shows a lack of trust in God. Colossians 3 verse 9 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices." And then he lies to Ahimelech. David fled again this time to the home of the tabernacle. And his great love for his house of God seems to motivate him. But he lies and says he's on a mission from Saul. To 1 Samuel 21 verse 2. Seems to work out fine, but a spy is among them, Doeg. And he ultimately leads to more bloodshed and treachery. The lies don't work. And then he lies to Achish. David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he feigned insanity in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, taking marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Lie upon lie usually ends in disaster, as it does here. One thing leads to another, so one lie leads to another. So that we can't tell the truth from the lies. I think it's very telling for our society that the BBC has established an organisation within itself called BBC Verify. We have to even check the news. This happens when we trust in ourselves rather than trusting in God. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Trust in Jesus. In conclusion then, I would say this. David, as we will see, eventually trusts in God and learns to wait on him for his deliverance. As we saw in that psalm that Janet read to us, we had the David who was wise enough to be able to tell the difference between the wicked and those who trust in God. So we trust in Jesus and in his plans. We don't trust in the wicked. And I leave you with this verse, Romans 15 verse 13. "May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow hope with the power of the Holy Spirit." Let's pray together. Father, we live in a society, particularly in this country, that is obsessed with fame and popularity. And each evening on our televisions, we can see programs where people are seeking to have their 15 minutes of fame. Lord, we don't trust in that. We trust in you. We have politicians who will lie and deceive in order to stay in power, who will do anything to keep with their status. And Lord, we don't trust in that either. Father, we trust in Jesus. We trust in him. And pray, Lord, that he will have his way and his will performed on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, hear us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.